Country Pop FM.
This is it. This is what you've waited for. Bob FM. Other than, Christina, she waited for the keyword very patiently, mind you.
Right.
Christina. Give or take 25 minutes. Bob Almanac here today. No Bob Almanac salutes. We had two of them yesterday. And so far, so good. My staff is doing a nice job logging each and every of the Almanac salutes that we do here during the year. So it'll make it for an easy transition in production of the Almanac salute end of year montage.
It's perhaps a new tradition.
Tuesday, January 16th, 16th day of the year, 1936, the first ever photo finish for a, actually it wasn't the race, they actually installed, so then the next race was the very first, who knows if they had to use it in the next race, but it was the first time that a photo finish camera was installed at a racetrack. It was the Hialeah racetrack in Hialeah, Florida.
Sure.
That sounds more like a city in Hawaii, doesn't it?
It really does.
It really does. Hialeah. You're a Florida guy.
Hialeah.
You're about ready to go there. Do you know where Hialeah is?
I don't.
Is anywhere near? I bet you they got a lot of lanais in Hialeah.
I'm thinking they do.
So that would be the first instance, really, of replay, when you think
about it. It really would.
You know, replay's everywhere in sports now. I don't know of a sport that doesn't have replay.
No.
But so this would have been the first time that they used something like that.
It was available.
It was available and at their disposal. 1936. 43.
Set up two glasses, Joe, and turn the jukebox low, and let me sit and reminisce.
That, of course, is the troubadour himself, E.T. Set him up, Joe, and play Walking the Floor.
Yeah, Walking the Floor with you.
Ernest Tubb made his debut appearance at the Grand Ole Opry, Nashville, Tennessee, today.
Like his sound.
In 1943, he was very much entrenched and very much present in the early days of country music.
Mm-hmm.
He was very involved, had his record shop there in Nashville.
Yep.
And was very influential, the one and only Ernest Tubb. 1943. 1 year later, in 44.
Interviewed in London on his return from Italy to assume supreme command of Allied forces for the Second Front, General Dwight D. Eisenhower.
In taking up the new duties assigned me by the Combined Chiefs of Staff, I am highly gratified that my command is still an Allied one.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know what? They liked Ike.
They did.
They tapped Ike on this date to take command of the Allied invasion force in London. Mm-hmm. He was right there to plan and execute the D-Day invasion. It's a big part of our winning World War II.
Yeah, it wouldn't last not much more than a year more after that.
And that was in 44. And then exactly a year later, this was the date that Hitler moved into his bunker.
Ah.
So he felt it was after the D-Day invasion, of course.
Yes, of course.
And we had been moving our way from Normandy
and from Normandy.
The beaches of France and moving towards Berlin along with the Russians. It was the Russians, I guess, the first ones that came in on Berlin, and it surrounded his bunker.
Right.
And he was feeling the walls collapse in amongst himself, and he moved down to the bunker and eventually, of course, committed suicide April 30th.
Mm-hmm.
He and Eva Braun, 1945. 1972, let's remember David Seville.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that...
There he is, the original witch doctor. You know, David Seville died on this date. Let's enjoy it.
Why not?
Something as simple as just speeding up the tape became a multi-million, maybe it's been billions of dollars.
Could be.
The Chipmunk franchise has earned with all the things, the cartoons, the movies, toys, all kinds of licensing, and of course the music. And David Seville didn't live very long. He wasn't able to enjoy all the great success.
No.
Because he died in this day, 1972, and the Chipmunks were certainly a thing by then, but not what they would eventually become.
Nope. He didn't. He didn't know what he was doing. The gold mine that he was creating, probably, and he was so young. Only 52 when he passed away.
Alvin Simon Theodore. That was his date, 1972. How about 1973? This is Bonanza.
Let me out! Let me out of here! You don't understand. You weren't there. You don't understand. Let me out!
Tom Skerritt, special guest star in the final ever episode of Bonanza that aired on this date, 1973. He was somebody, I think he was playing somebody who had fought in the Civil War, was having some mental issues.
Yep.
And he was like chasing Little Joe.
Little Joe, yep. And it was an intense.
Yes, very intense.
Final Bonanza.
It was. And
in fact, that last year, there was several intense ones. They, you know, Little Joe got married and his wife got burned out of her house and killed in the fire. It was just horrific. They really hit hard those last episodes of Bonanza.
Well, that was while they were preparing. Michael Landon was preparing for moving on to Little House on the Prairie and hitting all kinds of really serious storylines.
Dan Blocker, of course, who played Hoss in real life, had died in 70 the year before, and that really, really changed everything for Bonanza.
Yep, Bonanza, this date, 1973, but they continued with the salad bar, which was good. They ended the show,
goodness.
But the salad bar.
A sirloin and a salad bar.
Stuck around here.
Boy, it was good, too.
Now this.
You rang.
Yeah, we're going to remember Lurch here today.
Yes, we should.
Because Ted Cassidy died at the age of 46 on this date.
So young, too.
He was Lurch. Yeah. He played Thing, too. His hand was Thing.
Yes.
And originally, if you watch the documentary about the Addams Family, Lurch was originally going to be mute.
Yes.
So instead, they decided, well, we'll have him say "You rang." And we'll have him, you know, grunt and do that kind of stuff generally. And play the harpsichord, of course.
Right.
And
didn't he play in $6 Million Man?
Yeah, he was the second Bigfoot.
Right.
Andre the Giant was the first Bigfoot. He was the second Bigfoot when Steve Austin and Jamie Summers battled Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. He was like 6'9".
He was a tall guy.
6'8", 6'9", big guy.
Not quite as tall as Andre the Giant.
No.
Well, and not as bulky. Wonder. Yes. And he was the other one. He also was the one who said David Banner is believed to be dead. And he must let the world think that he is dead until he can find a way to control the raging spirit that dwells within him. He's the one who said that, too. Because he was the narrator of the intro to The Incredible Hulk. Late 70s, early 80s.
I'm sure we looked it up before, but what did he pass away?
I don't remember. 46. You can do that.
Take a look, yeah.
As we listen to this.
New Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups. Real fruit and fun rolled up in one.
You can peel them, you can pull them, gum. Fruit Corners. You can tear them, you can share them. Fruit Roll-Ups. You can rock them, you can roll them.
Fruit Roll-Ups made their debut this day.
New Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups are the chewy snacks made with real fruit that you unroll, peel, and chew.
You can smash them, you can chew.
Fruit Corners, which is a subsidiary of Betty Crocker, which is a subsidiary of General Mills.
Right.
So General Mills introduced Fruit Roll-Ups on this date. And you know, without Fruit Roll-Ups, they would not have had edible underwear.
Correct. Because that was a game changer.
That was a game changer. Yeah. With the advent of Fruit Roll-Ups and that kind of technology, we could not have had edible underwear, which of course is a big part of Larry the Cable Guy. I think he had another bit on that as well.
He mentioned
he had a bit on the plug-ins, and now he did the ones with that as well.
Yes, he did.
General Mills Pop Secret Popcorn.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, General Mills, they were very cutting edge.
Sure.
Came up with all kinds of great products.
Absolutely.
Fruit roll-ups. Yeah, what was the bit? He said he went and bought some of those, and he bought like six pairs, and only two of them made it home or something.
Made it to his girlfriend's house.
He ate four on his way home.
On the way over there, yeah.
Get her done.
Underbitches. Edible underbitches.
Edible underbitches, that's what he called them. He did. It's time now to get serious with Walter Cronkite. By the way, 1980 is the date that Fruit Roll-Ups were introduced.
Former Beatle Paul McCartney was jailed without bail in Tokyo today after being arrested on charges of marijuana possession and smuggling. The 37-year-old rock star was arrested at Narita Airport after almost half a pound of marijuana was found in one of his suitcases.
That's a lot.
That's quite a bit for personal use.
I think, is that too much even Minnesota's new law? Do you get picked up? Is that too much to have in your possession?
I don't know.
I don't really follow because it doesn't affect me. But Paul and Linda were both arrested.
Yep.
On this date. Like that time Paul McCartney arrested in Japan. Isn't there? That's a song Blake Shelton.
I think he
Playboys
did.
Of the Southwestern world. I think he quoted this event in history. He had to tour. He had to cancel the rest of his tour. He spent 10 days behind bars. He was actually kicked out of the country because of it. In Japan, this date, 1980. Another debut this date.
This is the Noid. He loves to ruin your pizza. If you've ever gotten cold pizza, a squashed pizza, or pizza that just wasn't ripe, the Noid did it.
The Noid. He's still around today. They brought him back.
Yeah.
I think we've got a promo that involves some form of the Noid. Neil, did you like the Noid, or was the Noid annoying?
The Noid annoying.
It was.
Yeah.
But what's more annoying, Noid, the Noid himself, or pizza that is crushed or cold or what have you?
I think that's part a toss-up.
I think part of the whole Noid process for Domino's was they came up with the octagonal pizza box.
Well.
Which doesn't crush as easy and technically, I guess scientifically, keeps it hotter. Because there's less open, you know, the corners there.
Yeah.
It actually keeps the pizza hotter.
Another game changer.
So the Noid was premiered and invented, if you will, on this date. Probably was invented earlier than this date in 86, somewhere in a boardroom. Somebody came up with that idea.
Right.
And they thought it was a good idea.
It was.
It was.
Our colleague, Jimmy the Greek, made some regrettable and offensive remarks for which he has apologized. Yesterday, CBS issued a statement disassociating itself from those remarks. It goes without saying that his comments do not reflect in any way the thinking or attitudes of the rest of us here at CBS Sports. While we deplore the incident this weekend, we are saddened that our 12-year association with Jimmy had to end this way.
Jimmy the Greek was fired on this date. Oh, and then Brent Musburger said, well, let's now turn the cameras to the stands and see if we can see some hotties. That's... You remember that, the NFL, college football game? I bet you that the first... When they would have the production meeting for the national TV crew, they would get together and they go, okay, you're in charge of finding the quarterback's girlfriend or wife.
Yeah.
That was Brent Musburger's number one priority. But yeah, they had to fire Jimmy the Greek. He said some things. He had had some cocktails. You think about Jimmy Greek. He wasn't a football guy. He was a gambler.
He was a gambler. He was
and guess what? He was right.
Maker. Yeah.
He was right a lot.
Yeah, he was.
On his picks.
Well, he was.
Jimmy the Greek Snyder fired this date. How about some good Beatles news?
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on
George Harrison song.
I got my mind set
number one on the Billboard charts this date in 88.
But it's gonna take money.
It's a good up-tempo song. I've always
very
liked
good. It. Very good tune.
When We Was Fab was good, too. That was back in 88. How about 91?
Just 2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait. These attacks continue as I speak. Ground forces are not engaged. This conflict started August 2nd when the dictator of Iraq invaded a small and helpless neighbor.
That dictator, Saddam.
Saddam.
George Bush called him Saddam.
Yeah, he did.
And Operation Desert Storm began this date. As we started launching air raids in Iraq. And generally, the raids and everything, all the offensive forward areas, it was basically all in the air.
Yes.
With missiles and jet planes and fighter planes and those things. Sorties. I heard the term sorties for the first time. That was this date, 1991, as we were able to chase Iraqi forces out of Kuwait. And then 2017.
Well, the last man to walk on the moon has died. Gene Cernan was one of only 12 men to ever do so. He was a U.S. Navy captain when he was selected by NASA to be part of the original Gemini program. He and Jack Schmidt landed on the moon's surface December 11th, 1972.
Yeah, we all know the first person to walk on the moon. What about the last person up to this point? We're expecting another person, man or woman, to step on the moon at some point in time, although our efforts have been delayed They've delayed it a couple of years. That news just came out a week or two ago. But Gene Cernan died at the age of 82 this date in 2017. Ready for birthdays, Neil?
Quickly.
Oh, you did look it up. Okay.
Yeah, Ted Cassidy underwent surgery in Los Angeles to have a benign tumor removed from his heart. Complications arose several days later while he was home recuperating. They took him back to the hospital. Sadly, he would pass away in the hospital. He was only 46.
Right.
You went from Beaumont to L.A. and L.A. to the moon.
The wonderful moon. The wonderful Ronnie Millsap. That is a total coincidence. Maybe subconsciously is why I picked this song, because we were just talking about the moon. But
I haven't heard this one for a while.
I didn't do it consciously. I like this one.
It's a good one.
Greatest Hits Volume 3 of the great Ronnie Millsap. Song after song, more than 40 number ones. He's the best, and just absolutely fantastic. Blind from early age. I don't think he was blind at birth. I read the book. Boy, my reading comprehension is bad these days. I can't remember if he was blind at birth.
No, I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
Yeah, as he got into his teenage years, happened, yeah.
Ronnie Millsap, 81.
So glad I got to meet him on several occasions.
Yeah, he was a treat.
He was a dandy.
Great character.
Wildwood flower grew wild on the farm, and we never knew what it was called. Some said it's a flower, and some said it's a weed. I didn't give it much thought.
Paul McCartney knows.
One day I was out there talking.
You can tell the difference.
I reached down for a weed to chew on.
But anyway, Jim Stafford is 80 today.
Love it. You know my favorite.
My Girl Bill. No, Swamp Witch. Swamp Witch. That's right. I like Cow Patty.
Cow Patty's really good, too. There's a lot of good songs. We need a request from him today.
Right, exactly. You got to watch your step when you know the chips are down. That's Jim Stafford here today. He's 80.
Hi, we're going to be taking your calls throughout the whole hour, all right? So you keep calling in. You're on with Dr. Laura Schlesinger. What's your first name?
My name is Sue.
Hello.
Sue. Hey, Sue's on the air. Neil, have you ever had the inkling to call in to Dr. Laura Schlesinger?
I never had her number handy.
That's unfortunate.
Right, really.
She doled out a lot of advice over the years. Well, radio show, TV show, interviews, the whole thing. She's Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Mm-hmm.
She's 77 here today. Debbie Allen is 74.
But first you have to become a dancer. Now you may be hot stuff up in Harlem, or you may have the best tutu collection in the country. Doesn't matter. I don't have time for prima donnas. Mm-hmm. You want to become a dancer? You're going to have to work. Work your little tights off.
Neil, how's your tutu collection?
I've worked them all off.
Yeah, that's Debbie Allen, 74. That's her on the television show Fame. She's a great choreographer. She's won a lot of awards for choreography.
Yep.
She's Felicia Allen Rashad. They're not no longer married, but she was her sister. Debbie
Allen.
She's in a lot of shows and did some directing 74.
Good work.
No need to ask. He's a smooth operator.
You could have used Debbie Allen's help when you danced on Fox 9 time.
Yeah, I could have used her help, and some music would have been good.
Do you remember that time when I wasn't here and you said that happy birthday, Sade? The phone banks lit up.
Yeah, well, I don't, but...
Yeah. Sade. Sade is 65.
Sade, I do.
Sade.
No, you're never gonna get it.
Never knew she had a last name until right now.
She's always been and always will be just Sade to me.
Yes.
Maxine Jones of En Vogue. En Vogue.
Oh, yeah. Never, ever gonna get it. I have heard this, I'm pretty sure.
62, the boxer Roy Jones Jr.
Doesn't win the gold off this, then I think there's something rotten in Korea, because that is absolutely one of the most dominant things I've seen.
The winner is on point 3-2 in the blue corner.
Well, there it is. Sihan has stolen the belt.
It just happened. That's the only Olympic boxing match I've ever watched.
Really?
And it was the one in the 88 Seoul Olympics.
Oh, I watched a lot of them.
Where Roy Jones Jr. got... I might be exaggerated. And, you know, Park Sihan says to this day he wished he never would have won. He knew he shouldn't have won. And his life has been worse because he won the gold medal.
I suppose.
Because of that tragedy Just a total injustice, light middleweight, 1988
the
Olympics.
Judges were swayed by something.
Something, yeah, they were swayed by something. I don't know. I don't think, you know, did they have a firearm to their temple?
It appeared they did.
One more birthday, and yeah, he's 55.
Hey, Mr. Wilson!
Oh, I'm sick.
I won't fib for you, George.
Hi, Mrs. Wilson. Is Mr. Wilson here?
He was the new...
Oh.
The remake, the reboot of Dennis the Menace. Mason Gamble. Okay. He beat out 20,000 other auditioners and
that's
kids
pretty good,
that
then.
Wanted to be Dennis the Menace.
He must have been good at it.
So he's 38.
All right. Gone but not forgotten today. We're going to start with the guy who gave us a Zamboni. Martin Zeller.
Yes, I do.
Does he do this song?
Yeah, it's his.
It's his? Was he in the Gear Daddies?
Yes. He wrote it. That's him singing it. Martin's a good dude. Allie Gray does a lot of shows with Martin. Frank Zamboni Jr. is the guy who invented the resurfacing machine, and Martin Zeller's the guy who... made it famous.
Isn't he also the
song.
Neil Diamond guy? Does
yes.
he do Neil Diamond
great
tribute?
Neil Diamond tribute, yep. 1901 for Frank Zamboni Jr. The great Ethel Merman.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow.
When she sings, you know it's Ethel Merman.
You certainly do. Big voice there and one of a kind. Ethel Merman, Tony Award-winning actress, born on this day in 1908. The great Dizzy Dean is a baseball Hall of Famer. A bit brash, you know, kind of like a Joe Namath in baseball in the 30s. Oh. You have to like the Gas House Gang, right? It had Dizzy Dean, had his brother Dazzy Dean, Ducky Joe Medwick, Pepper Martin, some great names and great baseball players. Dizzy Dean is still the last guy to win 30 games in the National League in one season. He was 30-7 with a 2.68 ERA. Not a bad year in 1934. Dazzy Dean, 1910. Roy Lanham was with the Sons of the Pioneers.
See them tumbling down.
Was he with them, your guy Festus?
Yeah, Curtis.
Yeah.
Might have been there at the same time. I'm sure they knew each other. And, of course, Roy Rogers would be in the mix somewhere there. Roy Lanham, born on this day in 1923. We mentioned her not that long ago, Diane Fossey, the gorilla researcher. I think we mentioned her when she died. This was the day of her birth, 1932. Michael Pataki, remember him from Rocky or some other things?
And the inventor of the Malachi Crunch.
Next we have the diabolical Count Malachi and his brother Rocco.
Let the pigeons loose!
We have no pigeons.
Ah, there, Pinky! The Malachi Crunch!
They're just about to deliver the Malachi Crunch to Pinky Tuscadero. And if you get the Malachi Crunch, you know what it is? You know what it is? It's good night, Irene.
It's lights out. It's
good
done.
Night, Pinky.
Michael Pataki there, born on this day in 1938. And we lost her young, the fine actress and singer, Aaliyah.
What would you say to have your way? Would you give up or try again if I hesitate?
Plane crash, right?
Plane crash. We lost her, much like Sade. Just will always just be Aaliyah. And it's a, you know, very unique spelling of Aaliyah. A-A-L-I-Y-A-H. Lots of A's in Aaliyah.
Her parents wanted to make sure that she was always first as far
right.
as first name
alphabetically. That was a good move.
Yeah.
1979 for Aaliyah. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
Kenny Chesney, How Forever Feels. Clay Walker, What's It to Ya?
Mm-hmm.
And Brooks and Dunn, My Heart Is Lost to Ya.
With the with the Kenny Chesney tickets up for grabs for his show. At our listener appreciation party. It's got to be Kenny today.
And don't forget, next text line ticket Tuesday keyword, 10:30.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDBG, Albert, KDBG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud.